Give the Lord praise in the house today. Give the Lord praise in the house today. Give the Lord praise. There's an amazing scripture that says He inhabits the praises of His people. He embodies our praise. That says a lot. You can take your seats this morning. He embodies the praises of His people. One of the greatest misperceptions in church, in religion, is perceiving that God is somewhere in the distance, that there's a ways to go. He's someplace, somewhere out there. And that there's this journey that we have to take in order to get close to Him. And we tend to determine the value of things so many times. People just tend to determine the value of things based on volume. You know, how much, how many, how large, how grand everything is. But the Word tells us that we're to seek the kingdom of God. That's what God said. Seek first the kingdom of God. So we need a little more science in the church. Science in the church is good. Because do you know what science means? It's scriptural. Science means to study, to test, and to act on. Jesus said, prove me now herewith. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly divided. So what He's saying is look specifically, look intricately, look closely. So we need a little more of that. And that's actually the pursuit of knowledge and understanding. That's actually what science, the definition of science is. And that's what the Word tells us. Seek Him. Seek to know Him. Seek to know Him better. And interestingly enough, science really sought out and paid attention to only proves the wonders of God. It just sees another aspect of God's glory. So we need to look a little bit closer. Religion, you know what religion is? Religion, I think summed up very simply said, is religion puts everything off in the distance. So we need help in order to get there. I mean, that sells pretty well, right? It's kind of like saying it's the last one and it's something you want. I'm a sucker for it. I have to buy it because, come on, it's the last one. And I really want it. And it keeps me from hesitating. Buy it right now because it is the last one. And you know you need it. And you need it even more now because it is the last one. Let's think about it today. This is the day. This is the only day. This is the day God has made. And let's be excited about what God has done today. Let's be excited. See, men and women, people, religion, look at things, the value of a thing, and we've been trained that way. To think about the value of a thing based on the volume of a thing. Just basically how much, how many, regardless of what it is. But God looks at the value of things based on the volume of our relationship with Him. That's value. Do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, keep my word. And we can look at that and think about it in a way of trying to induce effort to get there or go a distance to get there. But it's not what it's saying at all. And God made it clear when He said, listen, I've written my word, my commandments on the tablets of your heart and in your mind. Every time Jesus communicated about the kingdom and about the Father, He did something very, very unique, very incredible, unlike religion does. He made it very personal. He made it very close. He made it very present. He made it very right now. See, the "it is finished" is all about everything that God had commanded man from the time of Adam and Eve to present date. Everything that God, every law that God had commanded people to keep, every ordinance, every law, Jesus came and He fulfilled it because it was the law of God. God said to do it, and it had to be done. But man couldn't do it with the volume of relationship with the Father, because man was confined and restricted by his distance between him, his sin, and God. And the Word teaches us that it was the consciousness of man that was the real barrier between God and man. God has always been able to forgive, but we were only and are only justified through Jesus Christ. And the reason is Jesus Christ came, and the Word tells us, this is very basic, but you need to hear this for the future. Jesus Christ came, and he bore all iniquity, and he bore all shame. He paid for that. And that was necessary to cleanse the body. But the real picture was introducing the will of the Father, introducing the closeness of God with his people. That was really the point. And Jesus said, he said, when they said to him, show us the Father, show us God, show us the kingdom, he said the same thing in both accounts. He said, it's right here. The kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God dwells on the inside of you. The kingdom of God is a very, very present reality, very present power. You begin to get discouraged when you think that you have to do something in order to fulfill it, but you need to understand something. It did. All those things that Jesus did, they had to be done. He had to come, and the Word says he fulfilled it all. He fulfilled every law, every ordinance, every sacrifice. He fulfilled it all. He did it all because it did have to be done. It did have to be done. It was necessary that all the law would be fulfilled, and Jesus came as a man. And as a man, he fulfilled everything that God told man to do. As a man, he came. And he fulfilled everything that God said man should do. See, God never brings things to an end or a conclusion. He only brings them to the right beginning. And we think about God, his will, his word, your blessing, your future being in the distance. Okay, but Jesus is the distance. He's the beginning. He's the present. He's the future. So in Christ, all those things, regardless of how far away you may think them to be, we need to recognize that everything is ever present, because that's the nature of God. We try to break everything down through theology and through study and even fasting and prayer. We've just got to get this. But you're working way too hard. And you're tired, not because God isn't answering you, but because you don't believe he has. Because Jesus brought the presence of God into the earth. Really, in the only way God determined it to be. Through people of faith. Jesus was man. The Word makes it clear. He wasn't an angel. He came in a physical form just like you and I. He was born of the flesh. He was born in the flesh, but yet he was of the Spirit. He was a man in the flesh. Now, he wasn't born of the flesh of man. He was born of the Spirit of God, but he dwelt in a body. He was in, and the Word says, he became complete or perfect through the things which he suffered. So Jesus came and said, everything that the Father has ever said needed to be done and wasn't done, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it all. So man never again has to say, I have to do something in order to make it right so I am perfect before God. Jesus said, I'm going to do that for you. You have to do one simple thing, and you'll have to do this for the rest of your life, and it's called relationship. He said, you're going to have to believe and have faith that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I dwell with you. He inhabits. How does God embody a worship service? Through the praise of his people. We'd like it to fill with smoke. We'd like it to fill with fog, you know. We'd like it to rain in the house. But that's not Spirit. We need Spirit. Holy Spirit, that's what we need. Full of it. Full of it. Full of Holy Spirit. We need full of it. So full that it just oozes out of every orifice in your body. We need the fullness of God to dwell in bodily form. It's the only way he will appear according to his word. He said, do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's who you are. And I will to make my dwelling place within you. When you utter a word of praise, there I am. Jesus brought God close to us by saying, by revealing how present God is. How present. He's with me always, Jesus said. As we were praising, I was thinking about praise and I'm raising my hands, but I'm not trying to reach God. My praise is saying all of this. He's all of this here. This is God. This is all of God. But our volume has depleted and diminished our real volume, true access. If we don't have so much of this and so much of that, and more numbers of this, then it mustn't be God. But Christ came and took everything away in order to reveal everything that was real, everything that was spirit, everything that was eternal. Now, we think about eternal life as something that happens only when you die, but you're so wrong if you think that, because eternal life is everything as you're alive. God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. He lives in us. He dwells in us. But your mind is your judge. And if your mind says it's hard, then it's hard. But how great if something looks challenging, but your faith says it's easy. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. No matter what it is you do, Moses parted the sea. Now, come on, that seemed pretty hard. Have you ever parted a sea? But it wasn't hard at all. The distance is not where God is. God doesn't dwell in the distance. He's not a distant God. He's an eternal, internal God. And it's the only way you can see him. It's the only way. You can see him as a witness in someone, but you're not really going to see him in someone else the way you need to see him in yourself. You can't. Because that's not God. You can see the witness of God on someone's life, but you can only know the witness of God in your life. And so how does God do that? He gives us such opportunities. He started it from the garden. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take dominion, but I don't want you to take dominion because you think you have everything. I want you to take dominion when you realize you have nothing. Moses, how are you going to part that sea? Because God doesn't want it to be the volume of you. He wants it to be the volume of him in you. It's so simple. The appearing of the Lord is going to appear through the body of Christ. It's called the bride. He is going to appear in us. He's going to appear in a cloud. He's going to appear walking on the water. He's going to appear in any and every single way that he ever said. And you can't deny and you can't renounce and you can't forget that. But you have to understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about a distance. He's talking about a present. Lo, I'm with you always, even under the end of the world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus came and he said, here I am in bodily form. And he did signs and he did wonders. And then he said something very unique, very interesting. He said, all these things you've seen me do, you'll do. How would the Lord say, and greater things than this will you do? And that's what he said. Greater in what? Greater in number, greater in technology, greater in what? No, he said, it is important, it is vastly important, it is urgent, it is expedient, it is of the essence that I go in the form that you see me because you're receiving me in the way you see me. You cannot do that and be full of me. You have to receive me for who I am. I am spirit and I am here to work through you. I am here to live in you. I'm here to dwell in you. I want you to bring me close. I want you to draw nigh to me so I can draw nigh to you. How do we do that? The presence of the Lord, he's right. It's right here. Everything, the fullness of all things is here. And whatever God deems necessary to remove the blinders from your eyes, which sometimes is just a lot of stuff, to give you clear vision to the abundance so it just never ends, he'll do whatever is necessary because he's so God, so faithful. Speaking with my wife and daughters the other day, we were sitting at breakfast, and we were talking about the different things that you think you want, and you pray for, and you ask God to do this and God to do that, and then you can't understand, and it doesn't happen the way you prayed. Anyone in this house ever prayed for something and it turned out way different than you thought? One of you? That's awesome. And the rest of you, it always turns out exactly the way you pray. No, that's great. I think that's fabulous. And I said, and then after the fact, after the dust settles, you know, of you doing your rant, you know, because we just want to rant. Someone said to me the other day, they said, the Lord forbid me to complain. Well, and I would say then praise God, because all complaining does is make you uncomfortable and miserable with what God is doing. It doesn't accomplish anything. That's why God said, those people are complaining and they are displeasing me. But my confidence isn't in what I can see or what I can hold on to or how big my body is or how many people say, hey, we love what you said. We love what you did. I mean, we all like that. I like that. I love that. But I love my relationship with the Father more. And if God says few is volume to me because it's relationship with me, because there isn't anything that's distracting you from what I want you to say, then if I say what God says, isn't that the volume? Isn't that the abundance? Isn't that the blessing? If God demonstrates through you, if God speaks through you, if you're living by faith, we want to use faith as kind of a test port. It's just like, let's plug this in, see if it works. If it does, let's market and sell it. No, that's not what it is. It's for you. It's for you and for you alone. It's a very personal thing. Christ in me. I look at it like this. Christ in you, Christ in us, is the only hope that glory has of making itself known. I mean, God could bust open the skies today. We could hear trumpets and angels and chariots and horses and fire and look up, but it wouldn't really change anything that's necessary. I mean, well, how glorious that would be. Just like God's parting the Red Sea by the staff of Moses. How great. And how many people did it change? Nobody. God said, you saw my signs and my wonders, things I had never done ever before. See, we're looking for the wrong God. We're looking for the God of materials. We're looking for the God of substance. He wants us to look for the God of essence. And that's going to change the world, because the body is going to get it. 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030, God is changing, revolutionizing how we think about His presence, His appearance, His glory. How did He say we would see His glory? He said, you, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The Word says, don't you know that I've chosen you to reveal my glory? He literally said, to share my glory with you. David in Psalms, he says this of the Lord. He says, my enemies are pursuing me, and he's praying this prayer about God, you know, shutting down his enemies and protecting and keeping him safe and just protecting everything. And then he comes to the point and he says to awake and see your image is satisfying to me. To awaken and behold your image satisfies me. Now, not just waking up after being dead and going, oh God, but David is saying something deeper. Just like the Psalms, you're my shepherd. You never leave me. You're always with me. You lead and guide me. David is saying, to awake and see where is his image? I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the image of God. Not by your hairstyle, which you have fabulous hairstyles. You all look beautiful. Not by your clothing, not by your apparel, not by your shoes, not by your outward appearance, but by revelation, I understand where Christ is appearing today. He said, I'm going for just a minute. He said, I'm returning in the way that you can receive me and walk in the fullness of who I am to you. Who God is to someone else really doesn't help you. Come on. You know, you can say, oh, you're so blessed. I'm so glad. You're not that glad. When you're blessed, you're glad. And when you're blessed, then you're happier for everybody else because you're blessed. Come on, it's true, right? You're sitting there believing God for something that's not happening, and all these other people around you are just blessed, and you go, oh, I'm so happy you're blessed. You're lying. You're not so happy. You're happy when you are blessed. But if you realize the volume of your blessing is the volume of our relationship with the Father, and that is an eternal, internal God right here in His fullness. If He's not in His fullness, we can't see Him come. If you really heard me, you'd be like up on your feet just screaming, reaching for the ceiling. If you can't see Him in yourself, you're probably never going to see Him. No eye has seen. And that is talking about angelic, as far and human. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. So if you can't even perceive who God is and you see Him, you won't know what it is. Do you understand that? You see something. Have you ever seen something you've never seen before and you say, what do you say? Because you see it, you know what it is? If you don't see it, if you don't have an understanding as to what it is, what do you say? What is that? What is that? Why? You don't have science. You haven't studied it. You don't know what it looks like. So when you see it, you don't know what it is. They didn't have understanding when they saw Jesus. He said, I was right there among you. I mean, you guys wanted me to come. You wanted me to show up. You prophesied it for years. Here I am. But the eye cannot determine. But Jesus said, yet my spirit is revealing who I am. The revelation is revelation. Revelation of who He is. Who is He? Holy. Love. Righteousness. Joy. Peace. Confidence. Certainty. Ever present. Ever faithful. Ever with you. That's the spirit of it. That goes beyond you studying to find out rather than seeking to be found out. Christ being found out through me in my praise and my consistency. It's like the volume of water. Jesus said, I'm the living water. He said, if you were really thirsty, but you have a different kind. When He's sitting there at the well with the woman, He asks her for a drink, a different kind of thirst. And He baits her to say, why are you asking me? And He said, if you knew who I am, you would be asking me, and I'd give you a different kind of water. She doesn't get it. That's the church today. That's religion. Don't get it. She says, you don't have anything to draw water out of. How would you get water? He said, I'm not talking about this water. He said, this water, you thirst again. This thirst, the church is thirsting to death. They're parched. He said, the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. If we're feeling that that drink is in the distance, that's not the drink He's talking about. That's the natural well. But the well Christ is talking about is living water. And where did He say you would find it? He said, if you drink of this, you'll see the spring of water. Well, where? Where did He say? Welling up within you. Welling up on the inside. The message is revelation. The message is the Word of God. The message is prophecy because it all points to one thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the profound hope of God's glory, going from glory to glory to glory, bringing the transition, the transformation, the change that everyone's looking for and can't see it, so then we start to look for it in ways that make sense to us. Volume. How many? How much? How deep? How wide? How large? Volume. But the volume is Christ in me here and now. Jesus drew the awareness of God's presence by saying He's with me. And what did it do? It healed people. People that were blind. He was a man sent by the will of the Father. You are born again after the same Spirit that Jesus was born. Do you know that? The Word says, he that is born of Spirit is Spirit. It is no longer I that live. So what's God doing? He's saying, I need you to think like Spirit. I need you to think. See, it's not just about, I don't want to do things to please God. I want to do things to be like God. That's what David said. He said, if I awake and see your face, that satisfies me. If I look in the mirror and see the image of the Father, not me, so you can't boast of me. I'm looking for God. I'm in search of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you're looking for things here. He said, that's not, he said, seek the things that are above. Not above like way beyond you. Above where you're thinking. Above where you're coming from. Above what you're looking for. Think about things above where you're at. Woman, I'm not talking about that well. I'm talking about this well. I am the well of water. You have the power. You have the authority. Now you need to exercise the power, but you won't exercise the power if you don't know you have the authority. I have to know that it belongs to me. If I don't know my name is on my bank account, I don't know I have the authority to go in and draw out money, I won't go and draw it out. But instead, I'll go in there and try and rob the bank. I mean, I'm not going to go and rob the bank, but it'd be the only way to get money. You're a thief. You're a robber. But I'm authorized. My signature, your name is written. Don't seek those. Don't talk about demons that are subject to you, but rather that your name is your qualifier. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If God rebukes you, thank God that he's mindful of you. If he corrects you or gives you instruction or puts you in a position that you feel uncomfortable, thank God he's mindful of you and you know that he's going to keep you there. He's with you in a way that you need him to be with you. But he's always with you. But you need to understand. That's the power of revelation working on the inside of you. He's a water. He walked on the oceans. He's the creator of everything. The Word says only a fool looks up and says there is no God. How can you deny him? He said, look at everything that I've created without reason, but everything for purpose. You're purposed. From the beginning, from the creation of time, he purposed, he empowered you. What are you saying? God wants you to know he's right here. When I'm praising, I'm not reaching for him. I'm saying all of this all around me, all of this is the presence of the Lord. Jesus was the perfecter of making God so present with him. That's what he taught everybody. The kingdom of God is here. Don't say it's over there. Don't say it's somewhere else. You've heard me say this many, many times. The kingdom of heaven, anyone that thinks that it's somewhere else isn't seeing the kingdom. You're looking for a natural kingdom. That's what they did when Jesus came, so they couldn't see what was really there. But someone that could draw virtue from him. The woman with the issue of blood, the centurion soldier, Bartimaeus. They could see him right there. He's right here. Where is he? At the hem of his garment. My faith sees him right there. That's exactly how God responded to her. Where do you see him? Where do you see him? If we keep seeing him in the future, we'll never have the power in the present. If the change only comes when he appears on a cloud, then the change will never come because there has to be something for the cloud to overshadow. Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price, so no man, no woman, no one ever had to pay it again. He said, I'm taking care of every single item on the list. So it's done. Here comes the powerful point. I'm going to raise from the dead, so there isn't anything that man can't believe unto. Everything that the Father has, he's bringing to you, and he's doing it through Jesus' announcement, his declaration of the Father, his declaration of the will and the Word of God. Jesus turned John into Elijah before the people. They said, it's written that Elijah must come. At this time, Elijah should be here. And he said, you're right. Well, Elijah wasn't there. But Jesus transformed John into Elijah. He said, if you can believe John the Baptist, he is Elijah come back. Do you understand the power, the authority that the body of Christ wields? And then Jesus said, it's not enough for me to be here. It is of the essence that I go and return in the power of the Spirit. So I'm dwelling through you and in you. So you can never say the blessing is somewhere that it's not. Stop waiting for what is present. That's doubt and unbelief. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what you believe. I can turn this bottle of water into an ocean. All I have to do is pour it in it. And it's the ocean. And I can take the same pitcher or cup or bottle and dip it out. And guess what it is? It's still ocean. I can carry the ocean in my hand. It's not the volume. It's the reality. It is ocean. I can make this water human. Now it's human. And its name is Gary. I can make this water a prophet. A preacher. A husband. A dad. A friend. A pastor. I and you and me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. But if you do abide in me, my word abide in you, whatever you say, that's the way it is. That's the revelation. The ocean is an ocean of water. But it's not just by volume, it's by identity. Christ in you is the same. That water is the same in you. It's the same. It's not really what we pour out. It's what we pour into that makes a difference. You pour yourself into the will of God, the Word of God. My hunger for the Word of God. But God, very, very important. And I'm not asking your Word to answer me. I'm asking for your Word to be the answer to me. And God's answer may change you. God's Word will most certainly challenge you because His Word is alive and it brings to you who He is. Jesus came in summation to say, I'm paying for everything and I'm believing the Father for all things, and this isn't me doing it on my own accord. The Father, He said, has sent me. Boy, that makes religious people mad when you talk about God being here and present, because what you're saying to them is, I don't need you to have a relationship with God. But I can love you once I do. Make this a latte. Make it a cup of coffee. Jesus said, what do you need? Blind, healed. Wine, water. It's not what you pour out of. You think, oh, I poured it all out. Well, let's get to the most important part. What did you pour it into? I poured it into my confidence in God. I poured it into my relationship with the Father. I poured it into, I don't need anything that I have to do everything you call me to do. All I need is the volume of your relationship in me. And how do I do that? Well, first of all, I start with, the God before me, nothing can be against me. All things work together for good because I love God. I am the called according to His purpose. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it just doesn't make any difference because You are with me. And if You're with me, You're for me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. Direction, correction, instruction, pull me in the direction You want me to go. It doesn't matter. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Only goodness and mercy. This is the greatest season of your life. Will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That is doing what we were called to do. Rule the world. Not have the world. Rule it. Take dominion. How? Just do what I say. Keep my word. Here's your point of faith. Everything won't make any difference. I can give you everything. That won't make the difference. Sometimes everything has made the difference, and it didn't make a big enough difference, because the power is the volume of the kingdom of God that is being manifest through you. Your wife won't save you. Your husband won't save you. Your children. If you're saved, if you're forgiven, you can be forgiven and feel dry and empty. But if you're filled, you'll be satisfied. David, you know what will satisfy me, Father? He said, all my enemies, they want stuff. They want things. They want volume. They want me. They want to destroy. They have children, he said. They have families. They have possessions. He said, I'm satisfied waking up and seeing your image. How great is God? And here it is again. I've read this and read this because this is the message. This is the coming. This is the revealing. This is the appearance. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. What is the church? His body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Man, how transforming, how empowering is that? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, I love this, to fill all things. Christ comes and he says, now this is when it really happens. I've laid down my life, I've raised from the dead, and now I am ascending. We think about it, him just going up. He didn't just go up. The literal translation is he filled the entire universe with the fullness of himself. He filled everything. David prophetically, he was a prophet, you know, he prophetically saw. He saw that day and he said, where could I go and not be in the presence of the Lord? Where could I flee and not be in his spirit? Where is it? What marker could I make? What could I do? See, the effort of making it happen, when that goes away, you'll never fail again. When the revelation of it is going to happen, because it's already a part of who I am, and the happening is just another revelation of God's glory. Your family, your business, your church, your ministry, your health. There's something beyond you that gets you where God wants you to be. And wherever he has you settled, you need to do something. You need to praise him and let him inhabit your praises and put away all your discontentment, your uncertainty. God wants to put you in an uncertain place and have you become certain that he is with you, so it's no longer an uncertain place. God said to Moses, he said, I want you to go and I want you to speak to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses said, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. He said, can you send somebody else? And God talks to him and he says, we can send Aaron. We can send him. He's eloquent at speech. We can send him. But Moses is not about that. And he said, if I go and tell them you appeared to me, they're not going to believe me. They're going to say, no, he didn't. And I'm going to say, yes, he did. And they're going to say, no, he didn't. It's going to be an argument. Nothing's going to happen. And God said, I'm with you, Moses. I'm with you. Do you get it? Not I'm hanging out with you. I'm with you, Moses. If God is with you, if God has covered you, man, come on. It just doesn't get any better than that. Do you get it? Yeah, but I don't see stuff. Go blind for a minute. Like Paul did, so you can see. put the religion away. We become so dogmatic against religion, but we live so much in it. Rejoice, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be exceedingly glad. How did Jesus do what he did on the cross? That was beyond, beyond. And he didn't just die hanging on the cross. He forgave. He loved. Because he said, God is with me. A man is dying, but God is alive. A man is in pain, but God is pain-free. A man is suffering, but God has removed the suffering. God is present with you. God has clothed you in joy, clothed you with praise, clothed you in righteousness. And you just need to baptize your head in that. The ocean is just such a representation of God. Because it's just vast. You can't look at it and look to the other side. But you can get baptized in it. You can pour into it. And whatever you pour into it becomes part of it, just like the kingdom of God. What I've poured into this. Then you've poured into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God, the nature of God, is a part of you. And you're a part of it. Because God is one. Do you know what that means? Well, he's the only God. No, it doesn't just mean he's the only God. He is the only God. But it means he's one. Anything that God receives, he makes one with himself. Just like taking a bottle of water and pouring it into the ocean, and now it's the ocean. You want to go ahead and, can you get that bottle of water? Can you get that bottle of water out of the ocean for me? Anyone want that job? Take a bottle, pour it, take a pitcher, pour it in the ocean, and then say, well, go get it. Well, I can't. Why? Well, I don't know where it is. Sure you do. You're looking at it. Same thing with God. What are you talking about? It's the ocean. Take it out of anywhere. But you can't separate it because it transformed the moment it hit the water. It was baptized as ocean, just like you are in Christ. The moment that you're baptized, that's what baptism is. Baptism in water, baptism in the grave, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once it comes in, you're a part of the whole. You can't be separated. It's like the ocean. Take a bottle of water, pour it in the ocean. You'll never get that bottle of water out. You could take gallons out. You'll never find it as a bottle of water again. Why? That bottle of water has become the ocean. You can't separate it. It'll always be part of the ocean. When you're baptized in Christ, you're baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never be taken out of it as you were when you were poured into it. You become one with the Holy Spirit. You become one with the oceans of God's waters. You become one. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of life-giving water. Stop being afraid and worrying about messing up. You can't make it right, so you can't really make it wrong. You can only believe he made it right. You can't make the ocean something that it isn't. You dip out of it, it's still the ocean. No matter what you do to it, you can purify it, but it's still the ocean. Why? Because that's where it came from. You came from the Father. You were born into His Spirit. You were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you can't take that out. You can't separate who you are and make yourself who you were. You've been born again. You've been transformed. You are part of the waters of God. You are a part of the springs of living water. Christ in you is your hope of glory. This is the greatest season of your life. Times change. And you transform. Experiences happen. How do you interpret them? It is the revelation of the kingdom coming out of you. Pictures, motion pictures, theater, churches, orators, business, built upon the foundation that the kingdom of God is within us. Christ dwells in me. He is appearing in me every day. And there isn't any way that Christ will appear that will make him more full than he is. He is the fullness of all things. There isn't anything that will ever change that. And he doesn't enter you in part. He enters you in the fullness of who he is, because that's who he is, just like the ocean. You may not be able to contain the ocean in a pitcher, but it's no less the ocean than the ocean you dipped it out of. That's Christ. He is so Lord of lords and King of kings, so God, so mighty, so present, so powerful with you. Not just to help you out of your situation or get you through a certain thing or a time. He'll do all that because it's just who he is. But to take you someplace you don't recognize and then show you who he is in it. That he's God ever present with you to do so far beyond anything that you had in the past. To change you so dramatically and so simply from who you were into who he is. And God said, let us make them in our image and in our likeness. And let's give them dominion. I believe the body of Christ is here to reign and rule over the world. It's what he created us to do in the beginning, to take dominion, to walk in the fullness, and all by the word of God. And the spoken word of God, when it comes out of you, when it becomes your mind and it is the baptism of your mind and it permeates you. Just what the simplest thing. Yeah, and when you start thinking hard or difficult, you're thinking in a different dimension, the incorrect dimension. This is a mention of the Spirit, Christ dwelling in you. But that dimension is the creation of everything physical. God said everything visible and invisible. Just because you can't see it with your senses that are so diminished from their full reality of life doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It simply means when that other spectrum, that higher spectrum of light, spectrum of the Spirit, shines on it, you can see it for what it is, and it has the power to create tangible and intangible out of the same reality. In short, God can make things visible and invisible, and they all come from the same God. And he said, if you'll seek the kingdom of God first, if you will rejoice over what you have poured into, then my presence will inhabit your pouring and your feelings, your emotions, your attitude, and everything around you will take on the body of the ocean of the word of the kingdom of God. The ocean reminds me of the world today and our relationship, our knowledge of who Christ is. It's estimated that we know, again, more about Mars and the surface of Mars, that we've mapped out more of the surface of Mars and more of the surface of the moon than we have our own ocean and its floor. It's estimated we only know about 20% of what dwells in the ocean, right under our feet, right here, right beside us. So that being true, there's 80% we know nothing about what is right here, right there. A little more science, a little more studying. What do you mean? Seeking God. How do you do it? You're going to have to talk to him the way he is, ever present, right here with you, not in the distance. Not something you're waiting for, just like he said he was. Ever present, ever God. Eternal, internal God. That's where he dwells. That's where he makes himself known. That's why he created you. So he could be revealed through our faith in who he is. That is spirit. And that is being baptized in the ocean of God. And we become transformed. We are the same. As he is, the word says, so are we in this world. supposed to walk in the same love, the same confidence, speak the same word. Come on, if it's not God, it's not worth anything. But if Christ be in you, He is. It's how Jesus did. Being a man, He drew. He drew. The Father is with me always. He walked in the presence of the revelation of the Father. I didn't come here on my own. You need to say that. I didn't show up on my own. I certainly didn't say to my mom, "Hey, Mom, why don't you have me?" You know? God determined me. God determined you. Here you are. It needs to be all about who He is. Really. Because you're never going to know anything about why you're really here or what life is about until it's all about life. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And no one knows the Father, comes to the Father, except through me. This is that season. This is that moment. This is that hour. This is that time. And Father, we give you praise for it. Don't you give Him praise? Aren't you thankful? God's doing something in you right now. This word to you is for you to see the ocean, the volume of God, and pour into that. God, this is where you are. Oh my God, I have nothing to wait for. We don't have to break everything down and deny anything. We just have to accept everything that He is, and that He is so God and so faithful and so present. He's doing through you right here, right now, everything that He said. Jesus said, there isn't anything that a man will ever have to do again on planet Earth to fulfill anything that I want to do through Him. All I want Him to do is receive my word that He can do nothing with, just like Moses. God said to Moses, "What is in your hand? What do you got? You've got something. You have a hand. You have a heart. You have a mind. You have a mouth. You have ears. They that have an ear to hear, listen to what God's saying. Moses, what's in your hand? A stick. Okay. Throw it down." He threw it down. What made that stick any different than it was? He obeyed the word of God. He did what God said when God said, "Throw it down." He threw it down. The word says it turned into something that terrified him. He literally ran from his own staff that was in his hand. God said, "Now pick it up." He picked it up and it turned back into his staff. No, it was no longer his staff. It was called the staff of God. Do you understand? What's in your hand? "I don't have anything." Perfect. Then you pour it all out and you say, "God, what's in my hand is emptiness before you. My hands are filled with your praise. My hands are filled with your presence. God, be glorified in it and through it." And in that, God will do what He wants to do. He will bring to you everything. How can God restore you beyond where you were if there's nothing to restore? You haven't lost anything. You know what empowered Job? Do you know? Do you know what restored him? He brought an offering. Everything he had lost, everything he went through, he acknowledged. He said, "You've inquired of me, and I have answered." And he said, I was foolish. He said, "But you are Lord of it all, and it all belongs to you. It's all yours. Everything is yours. And nothing can be thwarted." He says, "I've heard you with my ear, but now I see you with my eyes." He made what appeared to be loss and suffering a gift, an offering before the Lord. Would you despise an offering? And he brought it before God. At that moment, he said, "It's all yours. And you are righteous and just, and nothing can thwart your ways and your will. And now I see you." Job said, "Now I see you." He saw him in what before looked like what he had lost, what had been taken away. And just like pouring water from a bottle, fresh water, into a salty ocean, and it becomes one. Everything he lost became one with the Father. He made it an offering. It all belongs to you, God. And now I see. I release it to you. You are worthy. You are great. You are God. You alone are the counsel. And he said, and I bury myself in ashes and dust before you. I surrender to your will. He worshiped God, and God restored him double. Where is it coming from? Where everything is, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You are the body of Christ. Not you and someone else. You are body of Christ. A very specific, particular member. God addressed one man. He addressed Abraham. He addressed Isaac. He addressed Paul. One man. Abraham called all nations. He addressed Abraham as all nations moving forward. Because he simply believed God. When there was nothing he could do to bring the word of the Lord to pass, except believe God. His wife the same. God's working that revelation in you right now. And today, whatever and anything and all things it is that you face, you're being made part of the perfect ocean of God, the complete ocean of God, the fullness of Christ that dwells in you. Soundness, spirit, body, mind, future. And wherever you are and whatever you stand in, God is working something incredibly wonderful through you and putting it all together. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will just reassemble, realign in perfect order. But this time where they came from is different than where they came from before. This time it's happened by the transforming power of God working through you. You've lost absolutely nothing, but God wants to renew your faith. Just as Job, that surrendered and said, God of you, and God made double, Abraham and Sarah. Youth is in the faith of your youth. You have nothing to lose, and your faith is youthful. So the Lord will restore you. So the Lord will make youthful again. Fearless faith. Now you have fearless faith. We pour out nothing to lose. Fearless faith. And the power of faith as a child is the kingdom of God, and it will renew you. It renewed the body. It renewed the mind and the spirit of Abraham and Sarah, and it is renewing in you. Both of you. It is a joyful thing. It is a time of youth. Would you despise what you brought to the altar of the Lord? Or would you rejoice as David said, what is it? Since you've given it anyway, and it is in that rejoicing that lies within you, that the dawn of a new era, a new day, the rule of God's will through your life in the earth will make itself known beyond where you were. This is the transforming waters of God's Spirit being poured into you so it could pour through you, so you could be renewed. You're like a child in the kingdom of God. Your faith, spirit, mind, body renewed. Let youth return to you through the youthfulness of your faith. Fearless. Jesus' mighty name. God, we give you praise. Can you hear that word? Can you receive that word? Can you receive that word? God, what did God do to Abraham and Sarah? He made them young again. He made their bodies young again. Do you know that? They went on. I wasn't the only one. Went on. Life started anew with a totally different revelation and relationship of God. God, what will you give me? I don't have anything, and my body is dead, and my wife's body is dead. God said what I said. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. And God made him the father of many nations. We are his offspring. Shouldn't we be fathering faith and nations? You think it's you. That's why you doubt. You really think it's just you at your best. But it can be you at your worst. And God at his best in and through you. And that's better than you at your very best. It's not by works. It's not hard. If it feels too hard trying to do right, you're doing right all wrong. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy loaded, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. So easy. These are the days of ease and joy, where your faith shows you what you've poured into. And as vast as the sea is, so is your future. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the greatest season of your life. God, we give you praise today, and we declare, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for God has spoken. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed and manifest through this, your body, everyone in this house, everyone that's viewing. Father, we pray that you would be glorified in your earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as in heaven. In your older age, you'll bear the seed of your youth. And whether God bring it through you or your children, or your children's children, it all comes through you. It is still yours, because it is by faith, just as we are Abraham's seed, because he fathered faith. So let us father faith in this generation. From 2025, let's say it today, 2025, moving forward, our world will take on the image of Christ. It will take on the face of the kingdom of God. Our world will transform into something that is beyond imagination. In the middle of war, God will bring confidence and peace and soundness and joy. And the Lord will establish you. And God will make your crops to grow again. He will bring you rain. He will bless you in the season of harvest. He'll give you the season of harvest. This is that day. I call you blessed of the Lord, honored and favored of God in salvation and everything that Christ brought through who he is. And Father, we give you thanks today. We worship you. We glorify you. Would you stand with me? Come on, we need to. How incredible is God? How wonderful is his word? I pray over each and every one of you in the house and those that are viewing that the revelation of Christ in you would elevate you so far beyond where you've been that you'll be, as he said, seated with him in higher places, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go anywhere to be in the kingdom of God. You don't have to go anywhere to be in heavenly places except other than in your faith and the revelation and the transformation, as Paul said. Let your mind be transformed. Don't be conformed to the image of this world. You're far beyond that. God is mindful of you. God is with you. God is for you. So nothing can be against you. This is the greatest, most incredible, most wondrous. I can feel, I can hear such praise, such shouts, such joy, celebrations. Literally throwing feasts and celebrations just because of the goodness of the Lord without the calendar telling you that it's time to do so. God! God said it. Let's celebrate it. Because we know it's being done. It's time for a feast of celebration. It's time for a feast of celebration. How mindful that God has led you and told you what he would do and what would happen, and here you stand. How mindful is God? And he can't be mindful of you and not be with you in mind and spirit. How great. This is the year of feasting. It is the year of feasting. It is the year of celebration. It is the year of jubilee. It is a profound time of God. It is the season of the Lord. Come on, lift your voice and worship with me in the house. This is the greatest. This is the season. That's how Jesus did it. This is the greatest day of my life. This is the hour of the Lord. Here is the kingdom of God. Here is the Father. Look at him. Glorify him. Greater is he that is in me than anything in all things in the world. And yet he transforms him to bear the witness of his image and his spirit and his power. This is the moment. This is the season. This is the day. This is the hour. Can't deny it. But take wings and fly with it. Because this is the order of God's purpose. To reveal how close with you he is. Taking you by the hand. Walking you on the waters. Walking you on the sand. Taking you places you had never gone before. If the distraction around you just continued to increase and became more and more and more. But when God wipes it away and says it's a brand new day, God brings new oceans. He brings new seas, new seasons, new times, new days. He renews your youth and renews your strength so we live strong, healthy, and well. And we declare, this is the Spirit of God, for the heavens of God have fell. Falling all around us, coming down on us, seizing us in the cloud of his glory. God's spirit and God's power so surrounds me. I feel like I'm taking a shower in his presence here, now, and forevermore. Clean by the rain, satisfied in thirst, encouraged in spirit, made alive in truth, growing like a tree. Because the cloud of God's glory has come down on me. It's all I need. The only place I need to be. And all I need to know and all I need to see is to see, you see, the ocean of God has rained down on me. Today, give him praise. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Can you see it? Jesus could every day. He was in the same temple you are, in the very same way. As you were filled with his spirit, God's spirit filled him. As you were born of the spirit, God gave him life as a man. You were born with the same spirit, born from the same father, born of faith, in the faith of God. There isn't a thing for us to do to make it new, to make it right, to make it finished. It is finished. Christ has done it. We walk in it. In the fullness of the joy, 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 joy. Look for 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 joy. Be scientific about it. Look for it. Search it out. Find it. Act upon it. This is the greatest hour of the Lord. This is the hour of our God and of his Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, give God praise in the house. What a great day. What a great God. However present you are with us. Lord, we acknowledge you. And acknowledging you, your presence makes itself known. You appear in our awareness of you. You appear in our praise. You appear in our offering. You appear in our worship. The kingdom of God is at hand. Do you believe it? Give the Lord a shout. Blessed be your name, O God, my God, great God, holy God, only God, true God, faithful God, present God, now God, here God, my God, Jesus.